last Monday Night Adrenaline at the end of the month. And so great, awesome times. And so parents, allow me to encourage you as the teenagers and the children are out. I just want to encourage you that you are well able to do what God's called you to do as parents. Amen. This school year, Pastor Kathy and I's prayer is that you are truly overly sensitive to the Spirit of God in your own home. That you, you heard the music ministry, they sang that song, You Say by Lauren Daigle. And I asked them, you know, 2.5 months ago to do that song. And God knew you were going to be here today to hear that song, because I want to encourage you that the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so this school year, speak life over your children. Don't speak what you see. Speak life. Speak what the Word of God says. Amen. And so it's so important. And I encourage you, you know what? You say, well, sometimes it's just so difficult. Yes, 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 it is. It is. You know, it is. Sometimes it is challenging. Sometimes it is difficult. But guess what? You are well able to do what God's called you to do, and that's be a parent. You have that child. You have that teenager. You have that young adult. You know what? God knew that you were going to be the best parent for that child. That's why he gave that child to you. So you have the ins and outs. You have what it takes to be an incredibly successful parent this school year, that you're just not treading water, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So I want to encourage you this school year. We said that they can have the best school year. Well, guess what? You can have the best school year as a parent. And you can see them thrive. You can see them be successful, because God desires for the entire family to function as a unit. The two great institutions that God created. And we talked about it so many times. I'll just remind you, in Genesis, he instilled the institution of the family in Genesis. You know, brought Adam and Eve and told them to be fruitful and multiply. And then the second biggest institution, the greatest institution other than the family, is the church in Acts chapter 2. And you see both of those institutions consistently get attacked throughout all history. And so, because there's power in family, and we were in a car, and I remember Ashley Leota said the statement, and I said, oh my gosh, it's so good. She says, you know, one person can make a difference, but a family can leave an impression. And I was like, ooh, girl, I'm writing that down. I was like, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, that was so good. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be taking that and using that. Like it's mine. But that's the truth. A family can make an impression, you know, can make an impact. And so you're able to do it. And it starts with you, Mom. It starts with you, Dad. It starts with you. And so you're well able to do it. And so praise the Lord. You know, do you believe that this morning? Because yeah. Everyone's looking at me like a cow at a new gate. You know, it's just like, I just came back from Alabama, so I feel like I can throw these little zingers out. And so, but listen, I'm so nice to be back home. It's so nice to be back. I know it's been a long few weeks, you know, but I just wanted to give you a report of just the past few weeks, you know, because it's been amazing to see what God has done, and to remind everybody that, you know, Camp Decision is an outreach of Family Worship Center. And it's not just new. It's not a new thing. It's not something new that's been going on. It's been going on for 29 years. It's always been an outreach of Family Worship Center. And so it's Pastor Kathy and I's choice to highlight it more, because it is an outreach of Family Worship Center, and we want you involved as much as possible next year. Because this is something that God can use you with in some way, shape, or form in the office or and whatnot. So I want to give you a report of just what some things that took place at Camp Decision USA a couple weeks ago. Now, you heard testimonies from that Sunday when the youth group testified. And if you weren't here, you can go to fwcpr.org and you can listen to those testimonies. Both services or testimonies are on there, and you can hear everyone that testified. And some things that we want to bring to you that in Camp Decision USA, which was just a couple weeks ago, you know, a few weeks ago, over 400 decisions for Christ in those 5 days. 400 decisions for Christ, over 400 baptized in the Holy Spirit over those five, over that five-day period. Teenagers called to the ministry took place. Deaf ears opened, spines, curvatures and spines were straightened in the name of Jesus. They, you know, like they could feel the curvature before and after they were prayed for, after that time frame in God's presence, it was straightened and they could feel a difference. You know, vision corrected, relationships healed, restored, and individuals set free. I mean, it's a pretty amazing 5 days. You know, and being in that in presence of some people just worshiping God for the very first time is just awesome. And so you have a part to play in that. This is, you know, this is the outreach of Family Worship Center. And then when you know, we came back that following Sunday, the teenagers shared, and then we were on a plane the next morning to go to Camp Decision Quebec. And Camp Decision Quebec, you know, it's a 7-day celebration, 17 years this year. And so, you know, it was a tremendous week. You know, about 100 decisions for Christ over those 5 days time frame. Let me just stop here there. Allow me to just remind everyone, I said this first service, just a little bit about Quebec, that 0.1%, mind you, 0.1% of the population are evangelical Christians, okay? So when you hear something like this and that there was like 8 churches involved, 9 churches, well, it might have been 12 churches involved in Camp Decision Quebec, and they've been doing a work. They've been plowing the field. They've been chipping away at a huge, thing in Quebec, and just not just starting a work, but maintaining a work. And so, 17 years later, you know, they're having, you know, 8 to 12 churches that are involved in Camp Decision, and the 100 decisions for Christ in those 5 days, about 100 baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, they just, you know, we had Nicholas, Nathan, and Jules, you know, share, and the teenagers, the French teenagers just ate it up because they said, you know what, if they can do that, if teenagers from America can preach, if teenagers from America can sing, if teenagers from America can actually pray for people, I can do that. It imparted vision into them. It was just absolutely amazing. And then on the final evening service of Quebec, you know, we had a version of Surrendered. I don't know the word in French because I don't speak French. A little bit, like French fry, French toast, French dressing. That's about the extent of it. But the final night, you know, which is we call it Surrendered, is a night of worship and just. And surrendering all to God at the night of miracles, you know, again, curvatures in spine were corrected. It was seemed to be a theme at both camps. Vision corrected, relationships healed. You know, deliverance from cutting and suicidal thoughts. That was huge. Huge. Individuals were coming down and saying, you know, I want to just stop this. I want to stop cutting. I want to stop you know, with this, you know, just taking my life, you know, they were set free. And then there was a young lady that actually showed up at camp that she was on crutches and she hurt her leg. I'm not sure how she did, but she was in a wheelchair for 2 months and then went from the wheelchair to the crutches. And she was in a wheelchair for 2 months and then crutches. It was over like 2 years. So you can tell she was used to being on those crutches because she was hopping around like crazy, like a little spider monkey. She was fast, you know? And, you know, she just could not put any weight on it. She's going to see a doctor and just not, you know, no healing, but she was used to it. And the youth group was there, you know, there was a different part of, I think they were from Drummondville area. And so she was there the Thursday night, you know? There it was, you know, people were worshiping, and then you just hear, because the floor is made of wood, and you hear this clack like that, and I'm talking, and I hear people screaming and yelling, and I don't know if it's like French or tongues. I don't know what's going on, right? So I'm just like looking around, and someone's speaking in the spirit. I didn't know because I don't understand. And And then, you know, you look, and then, you know, the crowd just parted, and you see this girl, and I look, and there's the crutches on the floor, and she's walking. It's almost, I thought to myself, my gosh, is that what it was like when Peter walked up to the man at the gate, beautiful, and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And then he stood up. You know, that's because this young girl, because she couldn't put any pressure, hadn't put any pressure on her knee, on her leg for over 2 years. And she just began to, like, you can tell that she was just getting strength. And the more she started walking on it, the easier it started becoming. And not only she started walking around, she started running around the place, but just in a few, like, in a 5-10 minutes, and then the rest of the night, she was down at the front of the altar, just jumping up and down, worshiping God, screaming and thanking God the entire night. You know, amazing, 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 amazing testimonies. And, and then, like I said, Pastor Tim did a wonderful job last week while we were in Quebec, and we spoke, had the opportunity of speaking in the home church there in Quebec, and we had a translator that was there, the pastor, translated in French, and a great time, just awesome to see God move. The altar call was filled with people. And it didn't matter. They were young, old, they didn't matter. All they knew that God was going to touch them. And, and a lot of us think, that was so amazing. Why can't we have that in the States? I hear that a lot. Why can't God move like that in the States? I believe God does move like that in the States. But I can tell you what the difference is. Now, I said this first service, understand, I said, God can use a donkey. That's the way I feel, right? She preaches amazing, teaches amazing, So somebody, there were people that came that drove 2 hours to be at that church service last Sunday morning. Like, wow. They came to hear the Americans talk. Drove 1 hour, 2 hours, and some of us have a challenge when we live 15 minutes away. The challenge is not that God doesn't want to move. The challenge is expectation. See, there's an expectation when you go in internationally. There's an expectation that, God's going to do something. And if we just we have that same expectation, when we just bring it in the Sunday morning, God's going to move mightily this morning. God's going to set someone free this morning. God's going to use me to do something in somebody's life this morning. It doesn't matter if you're a nursery worker, if you're in the parking lot, or if you're an usher, you're doing the media in the back, or doing whatever it is that you. God can use you. God desires to use you. But what's missing is expectation. That's what's missing. Because you talk about teenagers for 5 days, that's not foreign. I mean, sometimes you might think it's foreign. It's like it's just a different world, planet youth. But it's still here on American soil. What's the difference? Expectation, and we allow excuses to come up in our hearts for why we're not expecting God's best. Work, family, spouse. The list, finances, list goes on and on and on and on, where we just begin to lose, we just stop up expectation in our own hearts for God to move mightily. And why do we allow that? Situations? Because really what it goes down to is what the Word of God says about you. That song that the music ministry sang, I asked them to sing that, you say. Because we need to get back to, as children of God, what the Bible says about us, what God says about us, because that's God speaking to us. So when I say the Bible, that's God speaking to you. That what does God say about me? What's God say about you? What's clogging up that expectation from God using us? What's clogging up that expectation of God moving through us? What's clogging up that expectation of God moving amongst our midst? What is it? Is it what the enemy says about you? That you're not worth anything? That you're not worthy of it? That you're not good enough? You're not smart enough? You're not pretty enough? You're undeserving? What is it that's stopping it? Because we need to go to what the Word of God says. What the Word of God says about each and every one of us. whatever it is. I mean, there's, you know, there's an excitement that should be when you come to the doors of the church. When we come to the doors of the church, there should be an excitement, and that excitement equals expectation. That excitement equals expectation. You know, when you were a kid and there was expectation for running downstairs and opening your gifts on Christmas morning. There was expectation, you know? I mean, that's just man. That's man. That's just a natural thing. Just imagine if we allowed ourselves to switch over to the Spirit, allowed ourselves to walk in the Spirit, allowed ourselves to truly see what God sees, to be who God says we're to be. We allow ourselves to step into the fullness of God. That's what I truly believe. We'll experience overflow in life, in community, in the world. It's more than just a saying. It's a way of life. But we have to see it first. But how can we see it? We can see it easily by what the Word of God says about each and every one of us. Whatever it is, whatever your ailment is it fear? Well, the Bible has something to say about that. Is it image that you're not good enough? Well, God has something to say about that. You know, you're not, I use all kinds of examples in the Bible. I don't speak well, I don't know the Bible enough. You know, I mean, there's, you know, examples, it's Moses, it's all types. There's no reason why we don't allow ourselves to step into who God says we are supposed to step into and be who God's created us to be. I mean, why don't you think that you're worth it? Why don't you think that you're worthy? It's because of what the world or the enemy puts in your head. And we allow that. We allow that to be our normal. When that's not supposed to be our normal, that's supposed to be the abnormal. Think about it in John chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to read this. Some of you know this, the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. John chapter 8, I'm going to be reading out of the NLT version. It says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. But early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. Verse 3, as he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they're talking to Jesus, teacher. They said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. But what do you say? What do you say? Now, this was a political trap that they were trying to trap Jesus with. But this was something, you know, Jesus saw the bigger picture, that just not just situation, it's his trap, but this was an opportunity that you and I can be freed of a mentality right here. He saw the bigger picture. And so he goes on, and you guys, some of you know the story. I mean, he goes and they all had their stones to stone this woman, and he kneels down and he writes something in the dirt, and he stands up and he says, you without sin cast the first stone. And then the Bible says that one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, that they began to leave, and then until it was just Jesus and the woman. And then he looks to her and he says to her, where are your accusers? You're not worthy of my forgiveness. You're not worthy. You're worth nothing. Did he say that to her? No, he didn't. He didn't say that to her. Some of you were like, well, he said that. Well, that's raw. Dang, what Bible is he reading from? You know? No, he didn't say that. He said, woman, where are thou accusers? They don't condemn you, neither do I. He didn't say she wasn't worthy. He didn't say she wasn't worth it. He said, you are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Powerful. Do you need to hear those words this morning? That you are forgiven? Whatever mistakes that you've made from in the past, whatever is holding you back from walking out your destiny, whatever is tying you down, do you need to just hear that? I believe you have, but some of you need to be reminded of it because it's stopping you from moving forward, slowing you down. You think, in Luke chapter 8, I'm reading King James Version. It talks about the woman with the issue of blood. And she spent all she had on physicians, and they couldn't heal her. They couldn't come to a place where she was healed. And then the Bible continues to go on and talk about how she said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment." Expectation, people. Amen. There was an expectation there. She pushed through the crowd. Whew, some of us have a hard time pushing through situations in life to come to church. Some of us have situations in life that we have a hard time pushing through to be used of God in our schools or in your case, in your neighborhoods or your workplace. Expectation. She had expectation. She pushed through the crowd. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And then she did that. And Jesus, knowing that virtue, or one translation says power, was withdrawn, who touched me? And they're like, "Jesus, sir, bro. I mean, everybody is pushing up against you." No. This is an expectation type of touch. This is a withdrawal. You know, this is something that was obvious. And then there she was. And then he said to her, he said, "Your faith, you're not worthy of it." Did he say that? No. He said, "Your faith has made you whole." He said, "You are healed." Do you need to hear that this morning? Do you need to hear that you're healed by the stripes of Jesus? The 39 stripes that were put on his back? The cat of nine tails that ripped into his skin, and that blood that was on the floor for you and for me, that we need to be reminded of that? I'm trying to switch you into expectation. This service, this message is coming out way different from the first service. Similar, but different, because this service, you guys need to hear, God wants you to understand that you need to switch on your expectation in your life. You need to switch on expectation, be expecting God to do things, great and mighty things in your life. Because you know what? God's got something for you to do. And it's more than just existing. It's more than just barely making it. You know, just living life. Whatever comes, whatever happens. You know, que sera, sera. What will be, will be. It's more than that. Life is more than that. Waking up in the morning saying, "God, how are you going to use me today? I look forward to you using me today." That's expectation. God, who am I going to get to pray with today to ask Jesus in the heart? Who am I going to get to pray with today to show your love to somebody? Who am I going to get to bless today by giving somebody money to bless them, that they would just know that you are a living, breathing God? That's expectation. Causing you to think differently this morning. And then we have, Acts chapter 9. Just a couple of scriptures I pulled. That I felt that wanted you to hear. You know, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22, it talks about Saul's conversion. You gotta understand, Saul killed Christians, murdered Christians. I mean, he was ruthless. And on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with God. He falls off his horse and he becomes blind because Jesus is there. And what does he do? Saul, in that story, becomes Saul. He turns from his what he was doing. Jesus says to him, "You're not worthy of my power. You're not worthy of my redemption. You killed people. You stink, dude." He didn't say that. He looked at Saul and he said, "You were redeemed." And then he goes on to write, what, over two-thirds of our New Testament? What does God say about you? The Bible says in John 10:10 that the enemy, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "But I've come that you might have life and have it," what? More abundantly. Not just barely making it, but overflow, abundant. You have abundance. You have abundance, and I believe this morning that you can turn up the abundance of expectation in your life. Some of us in the house this morning need to stop dealing with the victim mentality. Well, because this was done to me, that was done to me, or this or that, and this is just the way I am. You know what? You are given, I'll just say this, because I want to be encouraging. Stop having the victim mentality. What happened, happened. God forgives, but God can strengthen you to move on. Amen. You just have to walk in that strength. You have to walk in that wisdom. Some individuals in the house this morning have found their identity in that victim mentality. And your identity is not to be found in what was done to you. Your identity is to be found in what was done for you. Because God desires to use you. And all of a sudden right now, you're like, oh my gosh, it just hit you. And you're like, yeah, I see that. I feel so bad that I've allowed God to do that. Well, guess what? God still says you're forgiven. God still says you're redeemed. What the devil meant for harm that he promised in his word, he'll turn it around for good. What is it that's stopping you from the expectation, from the fullness of God in your life? What's stopping you? What's stopping me from going out and being God's extension of hands and his feet, his mouthpiece, be showing his love to individuals, a lost and dying community? What's stopping you? Is it fear? Self-worth? Selfishness? Pastor John, if you realize how hard it is to get here with, you know, my two kids and my spouse, you realize how difficult that is because I'm supposed to be thinking about somebody else? Absolutely. You'll see how much easier it is to get your family here when you're thinking about somebody else. You say, well, that's a little forthcoming. You know, how can you be sure of that? I can be sure of that because I to this day do not understand how tithing works. But all I know is that when I go ahead and I'm selfish and I hold on to the full 100%, it doesn't go as far as the 90% after I tithe. I've seen it time and time again. And I believe the reason why that is because God puts his spiritual on our natural and then stretches that 90% supernaturally. And so therefore, I can't explain it. I can just tell you what the word of God says. That's the best way I can do it. But I've seen it. I've experienced it in my own life. So guess what? I'm saying that, you know what? God can multiply your time. I'm fully persuaded that if we just stop being selfish for just a little while, we'd be able to see how God uses us mightily and how much extra time that we truly would have to make a difference in somebody else's life by just stop being selfish. Just a little word of encouragement there, because you know why? Because each and every one of us have areas that we can do that in. Each and every one of us can just, you know, take this and put it aside for 45 minutes. Put it aside for an hour. It's okay. And we'll find how much time we have. Turn off the TV. We'll find out how much time we have. Because we always will make time for what's important to us. We would. You say, you don't have any time. I don't have any time to show anybody, I don't have any time to do this. I don't have time to do that for God. Well, if I told you that I gave you $1 million, but you have to spend it all day tomorrow, I'm sure you would find time to spend that $1 million. It's true. We would spend, yeah, absolutely. Babe, I'm out. You know, I'm like, you know, text me a list, you know. but we would find time because we always will find time for what's important to us. My prayer is that the next 4 months that people who don't know Jesus becomes a vital passion of your heart. Because people that don't know Jesus are important to God. I mean, we sing it when we sing Reckless Love. He'll go after the 90. He'll go after the one. He'll leave the 99 and go after the one, right? I mean, we sing it. We know it. But yet, we just leave it up to Jesus. Oh, you need to take care of it. I mean, God desires to use us. I want you to wake up with expectation in the morning. How can God use me today? Or not how. I even take it a step further. God, I can't wait for you to use me today. Every day, wake up that way. Because really, that's how the kingdom of God is impacted. Because when we do that, and then somebody comes in that doesn't know Jesus, and they get introduced to the same hope that you and I have, the same power that is and the authority that is given to us. And then they receive Jesus. They grow in their relationship with God. And then guess what? Then they go out and they love on people who don't know Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to impact the kingdom of darkness for the kingdom of God. It's not, oh, we're going to have Pastor so-and-so, Minister so-and-so going to come in and bring you all your lost friends, to church. It's going to happen outside these walls. This is a place where they can grow. Someone can believe in them, that they can be all that God created them to be, just like we believe in you. The way. Whatever it is this morning that's stopping you, you need to hear those words. Hear those words this morning. Whatever it is, you are forgiven. You are loved. You are loved.